a very hard one for me to preach on even. It says, what is your opinion of the LGBT community? And once again, that stands for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. Well, I'll give you, if I can, very quickly where I believe I stand on this. I believe that the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community have transgressed the teachings of the Word of God. I believe their sexual preference for a same-sex partner is contrary to God's plan for mankind. I often feel that my opinion is interpreted as hatred, which is not the case. My problem comes in how this lifestyle is being forced upon us as a society today, and then how the church should minister to individuals who are struggling at times with these temptations. Some of the individuals from this community whom I have known are wonderful, caring, loving people. I believe they have entered into this lifestyle in search of something to make them feel good and have become entrapped and ensnared. There are those who have recognized this is contrary to the Word of God and have turned from it. There are others who are battling these temptations and want help. Once again, we are preaching messages that you have asked for. So in this case, I don't know who asked for it or why you asked. It is certainly a hot topic today, but it is a good topic for us to open the God's Word on. For me, the best place for us to start is to remind us of the purpose of this book. And let me just share with you this verse. This verse is one of those memory verses we were supposed to memorize in Bible school. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this: all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this morning, I'd like to have us move our way through what the Word of God has to say about this topic, from my, what I believe at least, and have us see what God might have for our church in this matter. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, this chapter informs us of God's work of creation. We have here the heavens and the earth, light, water and dry land, fish, birds, animals, and eventually we come to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So for me, this is the aspect of the transgender. I believe God has created us, you know, as men to be men and females to be females from that right there. He also says, verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Now that is an important aspect too, because it is only possible for that to take place when you have the relationship between a man and a woman, a male and a female. Be fruitful and increase in number. So in Genesis chapter 2, God institutes marriage And one of the verses that I always love is found over in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I just believe that so wholeheartedly in my life. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now, once again, we find here that God made them. He brought her to the man. I always like that. Now, we joke sometimes when it comes to this. We see that God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay? So we find right quick that there's the male, the female aspect of this. So we see God's plan and God's design. This relationship is between a man and a woman. I believe that a biblical definition for marriage would be the uniting of a man and woman into a union that is to be until death do us part. And there's different aspects of this relationship that come to this relationship. First of all, there is the procreation of children. Where, you know, I better be thankful for my mom and dad. I wouldn't be here. All right? So there's the procreation of children that God planned through all this. Folks, God brought about this sexual thing for pleasure. I hope that you know. I know how a guy is wired. This is good stuff. Okay? And I think we need to realize God intended for the sexual relationship to have pleasure in it. There's also the aspect that there's a protection here. I look out for my wife. There's protection, and you come into this relationship. And I also believe in the day we live in, God intended for there to be purity in this relationship between a husband and a wife. You realize that we battle a lot of sexually transmitted diseases today. And there's a list of them. But gentlemen, wives and gentlemen, you don't have to worry about those kind of diseases if you are faithful and loyal to your mate. And so the challenge, once again, is to challenge one man, one woman, till death do us part that way. Well, what God intends for good, man has a way of deviating from. You've probably found that over the years. Okay. By the time we get to, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 9, 10, 11, I think in that area, we have Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have those angels coming to visit Lot. And the men of the city cry out to Lot, send them out that we may know them. There is all kinds of sexual connotations with that word know. The LGBT community would like to say no. They just want to have a social thing. No, those words mean a sexual relationship, and that's why Job said, "Hey, take my daughter instead." So once again, there's a deviation from the plan. By the time you get to Exodus chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments, guess what one of them says? You shall not commit adultery. We're not supposed to have a sexual relationship with another man's wife. Now at this time, well, especially, and then when you get to Leviticus chapter 18, you will read in that chapter, the whole chapter, about deviant sexual behavior. You are not supposed to, I'm not supposed to have sex with my sister-in-law. I'm not supposed to have sex with my mother. I'm not supposed to have sex with my daughter. I'm not supposed to have sex with my grandkids. That whole list, over all kinds of things, you're not supposed to, there's certain things God intended. One man, one woman, that's the relationship. It's a wonderful relationship. But there's all kinds of things that God says, this is off limits for you. And then in that whole statement, that chapter, finally we come to the verse that we have a lot of issues with today. And it says this, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. This is detestable. And so once again, we're told this relationship of a same sex, a homosexual relationship is detestable in the book of Leviticus here. Okay. Now, many critics of the Bible will say at this time, Brian Cuddy and you pompous people at the Sandusky Baptist Church, you are a bunch of hypocrites. Because this section of the Bible also has a lot of other things in it that you guys sort of pick and choose from. Some of them. The book of Leviticus also says, and the pig, though it has a split hoof and is completely divided, does not chew its cud, and it is unclean for you. You must not eat meat. You must not eat pig's meat or touch their carcass. They are unclean for you. And they'll say, Pastor Cuddy, do you like bacon? Do you like pork chops? And I say, yes, I do, you hypocrite! And then you have this verse in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 12. Anything living in the water that does not have fins and scales is to be detestable to you. Pastor Cuddy, do you like shrimp? Yeah, I like shrimp. You hypocrite! Those things are supposed to be off limits. Pastor Cuddy, we see that you are a clean-shaven man. It says here, do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edge of your beard. And there's a group of you. I have to read this one. We have discussions about this at times between the son and the daughter. Do not cut your body for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourself. And so I would say, I don't have a tattoo myself. I don't. But there's a lot of people who have tattoos. And they'll say, you hypocrite, it says you're not supposed to have them. Now, how do you deal with that? Well, I believe right here. It is true, there are many laws in the Old Testament that the nation of Israel were to obey. Some of them were given to keep people healthy. Some of them were given to keep them separate from the nations around them. Some of them were given because God wanted them to obey Him. Many of these laws are part of the old covenant, which God said He was going to replace with the new covenant. Many of these laws are done away with as a means of finding favor with God. Many of these laws are done away with as a means of finding favor with God. I don't have to keep all these laws in order to please God now. As they are replaced with a righteousness of Christ, that becomes ours as we trust in Him. I did not come, do not think I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them. I come to fulfill them. So all these things are taken care of in Christ. What we need to see, you know, once again, I need to realize, and I think I've probably talked to most people, we are Gentiles. We are not Jewish. What we need to see, however, is that some of the detestable things in the Old Testament are still detestable to our Lord in the New Testament. And they are directed to all believers, not just Jewish believers. And this matter of sexuality comes into this. So let's take our Bibles. Let's go to that big passage in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And once again, I want to be clear on what God's Word says, but I also want to be compassionate because I don't know the reason the question was given to me. There might be someone who is struggling with this as a temptation in their life. And at times, we have a tendency to say, oh, this is the worst sin in the world, when we fail to realize that God also says, hey, you're not supposed to steal, you're not supposed to lie, and you're not supposed to commit adultery, and you're not supposed to, and there's other sins, so we have to be careful about that. But let's look at Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. Verse 24 is a key verse. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their perversion. Now, verse 28 sort of always goes along with it. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. Now, once again, this is a battleground argument at times when you start to, I'm trying to say, hey, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm supposed to live according to this book. Does Brian Cuddy still have issues? Does Brian Cuddy still have temptations? Yes, we will until the day we get to heaven. But we are supposed to be striving to be holy. And there's times where people have stepped outside the teachings of the Word of God in this area especially, and I believe they are transgressing God. Another passage, and once again, this one over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think we need to see this one because this gives some hope as well for everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We could see in chapter 5, they were dealing with issues in the church of Corinth. Here's a man who has his father's wife, back in the good old Leviticus 18 situation going on there. And Paul says, you need to deal with this. This is wrong. The passage I want to go to, because of our lack of time, let's go to chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. Now, we've just listed a whole group. Let's see what he also lists. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 is the verse that we all need to see. And that is what some of you were. Past tense. That's what some of you were. You lived in that kind of lifestyle. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, and so I want to challenge us. This is hard because this is a temptation, just like I always tell people, God tempts you in a different way than he tempts Brian does. You know, you might have a temptation that is no big deal for me. I pick on alcohol here at times. I don't drink. It's never been an issue with me at all. I can go to Outback. I can go to a nice restaurant. The bar's there. Give me water and lemon. It's no big deal for me. It's not a temptation for Brian Cuddy. Other people, not only do they have the one, but they can't stop after they have the one. And that's a real struggle for them. So I want to be careful because we have different temptations. And as a church, we better be sensitive at times to the struggles that an individual may be going through in this situation. My problem is, as a church, I don't know how to minister at times to people who are struggling with the gay, the bisexual. Sometimes they are so venomous in the way they speak about the church, it's very aware that they haven't read what God has to say. So my prayer is that we would be sensitive to people who are struggling. Young people. A lot of people are struggling with their sexuality nowadays. And it's almost being promoted. Wow, you better question whether you're a boy or a girl. No. And once again, I don't mean to make light of this, but hey, just look and see how God plumbed you. Okay? That's basically what we're supposed to be doing here. But may we be sensitive to people. May we not turn from what it says in the Word of God, because I believe this is their hope. They need to know what God says. Every once in a while you get the, let me take you one passage. Just let me turn to it. Every once in a while you hear, God hates gay people. Well, let me read you the list of things that God hates. Oh, if I can find it here real quick. There are 6 things the Lord hates. 7 are detestable to him. Number 1, haughty eyes. Number 2, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. And false witnesses who pour out lies. Notice what he didn't include in that passage. There are people, I think, struggling at times with these things. It's become very rampant in our society. It is hard to watch TV or TV commercials without it being thrown right in your face. I think the church needs to think through and say, hey, we need to tell people what God says. But we also need to love people like we would love the person who's an alcoholic and say, hey, I want to have freedom from this addiction. That should be the way we start working with this. More rampant. The closet has been opened.